of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This is the living and enduring word of God. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you would meet us this morning in your word. We pray that you would give us insight into our own hearts, but more importantly, into your heart. Father, we thank you for the freedom that we have to gather. You know the things that tug at our hearts, the things that distract. We want to see you and you only. And it's the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Is the mic on now? Okay, good. I did forget to turn it on. The sound team tries to figure out a way of letting me know without disrupting the service, and they did very well there. I probably shouldn't just turn it off. They tell me to trust them. How many of you can remember being terrified of the dark? I can still remember being so afraid of the dark. It's interesting, that movie, Monsters, Inc., that came out. I remember being so afraid that I didn't want my hand to hang over the side of the bed because I was afraid that something underneath the bed might get my fingers. On the other hand, how many of you, probably more as teenagers and even as adults, have at times done things which you would have been really embarrassed if anyone had seen you do it? You kind of do it, and then you kind of look around to make sure nobody was looking, or maybe you looked around to make sure no one was looking before you did it. I don't know, but the scriptures, particularly the New Testament, have a lot to say about the contrast between those who are children of the light and those who are in darkness. Now, it's an important question to ask. Would you consider yourself to be a child of the light? Would you even know what a child of the light is? I guess if you don't know what one is, you can't really answer the question whether you are one or not. We're going to look this morning at what a child of the light is, and hopefully we'll have a desire to be a child of the light, and hopefully maybe we'll see some ways that we can make that more of a reality in our lives. We're going to look at three things. What is a child of the light? What does darkness have to do with light? And what does sleep have to do with light or being a child of the light? So first of all, let's ask that question. What is a child of the light? Verse 8 of our text says that at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, one little side thing before we go further this morning. Those of you who are regular attendees here have noticed that I have put less and less of the scripture on the overhead behind me. And that's intentional, because I'd like to see more and more of you pulling out your Bibles and turning to the texts for a number of reasons. One is, it's good for us to know where things are in the Bible. Now, unfortunately, it doesn't work quite as well now, because if you're like me, you're probably prone to just do it on your phone anyway, and it's quicker and easier, and you still don't know where it is in the Bible. But, well, it's still good to know the context. I don't have time to read the context. I'm going to look at a lot of scripture this morning, because there's a lot of scripture that has to say, and what we want to see is the threads of scripture. If it's just an isolated text, it has no real value. It only has value if it's consistent with Scripture. So I would urge you, to open your Bibles, look at the passages that I read, and look at the context, because the context will add significantly to anything I might read from up here. So, first of all, we see that a child of the light is one who believes in the light. Scripture clearly teaches in John 12, verses 35 and 36, Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer," meaning referring to himself. "Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you." The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in your hearts to give the light of what? The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In Colossians, he writes to the church in Colossae that he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So clearly, believing in the light, believing in Jesus as the light, is the first step, the crucial first step, the foundational step of what it means to be a child of the light. Now, hopefully some of you who may not have been too clear if you were a child of the light to begin with, at least have some idea now, yes, I believe that Jesus, I believe in Jesus, therefore I guess I believe in the light, therefore, yeah, I guess, okay, I'm a child of the light. Bottom line, a child of the light is a person who has surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and is trusting him alone for acceptance when they stand before God. We go over this time and again, but a child of the light is not defined by how good they are, but rather by whether they're trusting in what Christ's goodness has done for them. They're ones who have acknowledged that what they have done in the dark deserves punishment, and they want to come into the light. We're going to say more about that. I'm skipping a little bit ahead. And that's the next point. A child of the light is one who loves the light and willingly comes into the light. You see, that's a major distinction between a child of darkness and a child of light. The child of darkness is hiding. The one who is in darkness doesn't want to be found. When my kids were young, I did something for them that has left a scar. I mean, it left a great memory in their lives. We had a basement about, a quarter of the size of this room, and I went around and collected boxes, furniture boxes, appliance boxes, big boxes, all kinds of boxes, and I filled the basement with these boxes laying on their sides. I tied them together and cut holes in various places to make a maze. And they would have a great time. When the light was on, sometimes you come out of a box and you climb over something. But then we would turn out the lights, and I would go hide somewhere in the maze. And they would come through the maze not knowing when I would jump out at them. Well, that was kind of a fun way of when you're hiding in the dark, you don't want the light turned on. And we need to ask the question, do we really want the light turned on in our lives? Do we want to be children of light? And what does that look like? John Stott says, the light metaphor speaks vividly of Christian openness and transparency, of living joyfully in the presence of Christ with nothing to hide or fear. Secrecy has become an American right. We have this idea that somehow no one should know what we're doing. Now, granted, there are some things that are nobody's business but our own, and it can be dangerous to be too visible. Unfortunately, some of the next generation, the millennials, have gotten so careless with using the social media that they're exposing things that are going to come back and bite them. Yes, there is an appropriateness, perhaps, to hide some things, because just for safety reasons. But we must be careful that reality does not become an excuse for hiding things from others because they might make us look bad. Some of us are very private people because we are very good at presenting to others a facade. You know what a facade is? A facade is one of those buildings they use in Hollywood, which is just the front of a building with nothing behind it. We like people to think well of us. In fact, it might be said that we prefer to look good than to really be good. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10, we read, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, what are we doing? We're lying and don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, We're just deceiving ourselves, and the truth isn't in us. If we confess our sins, however, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we haven't sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, granted, none of us would say we don't sin. We all acknowledge, yes, I sin. We all sin. But are we willing to be identified as a sinner? I have sometimes, before I preached, quoted one of my favorite preachers, Steve Brown, where he would do this kind of thing before he preached. You know the sin of the one who preaches, for they are many. Forgive him. We want to see Jesus in him only, and it is in his name that we pray. And some people have acknowledged that the fact that I'm not afraid to point to my sin, to point to my shortcomings, enables them to feel freer themselves. We don't need to look good to each other. One of the things that Luke mentioned this morning, I think, to us in Sunday school, if I'm remembering correctly, is the fact that we are now family. Yes, it was, because he was talking about the church and how at one point he had rejected the church because of the sinners that are in the church, or he used the word hypocrites. And how many people reject the church because, my friends, we're a broken bunch of people who are a bunch of sinners who say stupid things, who say hurtful things, who say thoughtless things, who do thoughtless things. We're a bunch of sinners. Well, here at Hope, we've always said that. We've always said we're not a country club for saints. We are a hospital for sinners. And if you're a sinner here, then you fit right in, and I'm glad you're here. But the reality is that we're all sinners, isn't it? You know, it's not just even those of us who come. And we've often said the difference between those of us who are the hypocrites who are in the church and the hypocrites who aren't in the church is that we're here because we acknowledge our need. And they have somehow convinced themselves that they don't need. We need to be willing to come into the light. We need to not be afraid of having our sin exposed. We need to be willing to bear with others when their sin is exposed. We just finished reading a book in my mentoring group, When Sinners Say I Do. And the basic thrust of that book is two parts. Number one, my spouse is a sinner, and I shouldn't be surprised when they sin. Oh, yeah! Well, we can say that with the church, can't we? The other side of it is, I'm a sinner, and I shouldn't be surprised when I sin. We need grace. We need to be willing to come into the light because it reminds us of our need of grace. Well, we also see that a child of the light is one who shows evidence or fruit of the light in their lives. Okay, wait a minute. I skipped ahead there, didn't I? Let me catch up here. All right. So we all sin. Walking in the light does not mean we no longer do so. John 3:19-21. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come into the light so that others can see what they're doing, that what they're doing is what God wants. And again, we talked about this whole aspect of if we find ourselves fearing being exposed because it would be embarrassing, because others might think less of us, what we're doing is hiding in the darkness. We understand that there are two key ingredients for life and growth. Some of you are good at plants. Cheryl and I often joke about the fact the only plants that we're good at growing are weeds. It seems that we have this amazing capacity to kill any other kind of plant that's given to us. So if you want to give us a challenge, every now and again somebody gives us a plant and we set a date, see how long this one's going to last before we kill that one. But two key ingredients for plants are for life is water and light. So for us also, we have two key ingredients, living water and light. What is living water? John 4, Jeremiah 17 points out the living water is God. He's the one, it's the Spirit of God. We're going to talk more about that next week. And what is the light of the world? Jesus says that he is the light of the world. All right, we also see here that a child of the light is one who shows evidence or fruit of the light in their lives. Verse 9 of our text, the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Or the New Living translates that, this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. In other words, as the light is working within us, it shows through. Have you ever taken a flashlight and put it up against your hand and shown it Do you ever notice how you can see the glow actually through the hand, maybe through your finger if your hand's too thick, but if you shine light, you can actually see it through the body in certain parts. It glows. I've often wondered what it might have been like when Moses came down from the mountain, and it says that his face actually was glowing from being in the presence of God. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were arrested for healing a man who had been lame. And when they saw it says in verse 13, that when they saw the boldness of these two fishermen and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized what? That they had been with Jesus. You know, I always think of our brother Doug. You know, I don't think you have a bachelor's degree, right? You didn't finish a bachelor's degree, but he shines the light. You do have a bachelor's degree? He does. Okay. But he always talks about his blue-collar work. But he always goes and he talks about Jesus. Not his education. It's the fact that he knows Jesus that makes the difference. And he loves to tell people about that. We need to be able to be identified by the fact that we love him. I used to have a Frisbee that was a glow-in-the-dark Frisbee. Do you know what a glow-in-the-dark Frisbee needs? You need to take it and put it in the light for a while, and it kind of seems to absorb. I don't know how it works scientifically, but I know it works. You shine the light on it, and then it kind of glows, and you go when you play it, and you can play it in the dark, and you can see it flying through the dark. Now, one warning in that. Be careful you know what's around us, because I was doing that once and ran into a picnic table. But are we people who are identified because we've been in the light, that the light is visible in us? Another thing we see is that a child of the light is one who loves God's children. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, we read, "If anyone claims I'm living in the light but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and doesn't cause others to stumble, but anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness." Hate, bitterness, resentment blinds us. It blinds us to the light. It puts us in darkness. Everything is cloudy. Everything is blurred. Now, my friends, that's not to say there aren't times where our emotions are so intense that for a time we can't see anything but the hurt and the pain that somebody has wrought upon us. But my friends, we must not stay there. We must seek every way we can to come out of that hatred, of that anger. Like you've heard me say, bitterness is like taking slow poison and waiting for someone else to die. It eats you apart from the inside out, especially if you are truly a believer, because it's a contradiction. The light within you, which is the Spirit of God, is a contradiction with those feelings of anger and hurt and hate that we allow to fester. So there are two sides to this. One is connecting with his people. We love God's people. We are family. And we love each other because we're family. We meet another believer and we're family. We are those who together understand what it is to be sinners saved by grace. And the other side is we refuse to allow dislike to deteriorate into hatred. Now, my friends, we aren't going to like every other Christian. I don't like some. I'm only kidding. There are people we find difficult to like, aren't there? We rub each other the wrong way at times. I'm sure I've rubbed most of you, maybe all of you, wrong at some point in the wrong way. We do have a difficult time liking each other. That's not what this is talking about. But we refuse to allow that dislike to deteriorate into a decision to avoid. One of the things that I've done over time is when I find somebody that I find difficult, I reach out to them all the more intensely. And I have found many a former enemy, if you will, become a good friend. I've heard this in the context of marriage time and again. You probably all heard those stories, haven't you? A guy and a girl, when they first meet, just hate each other. They can't stand to be around each other. And that's the opposite to attracting, I guess. It always, you have to laugh when you hear these testimonies. Yeah, then we got married. So the question is, do you love his people simply because they are his people? And the other side of that is, do you refuse consciously and intentionally to not allow dislike to fester into hatred? The next thing we see is that a child of light is one who refuses to participate in the deeds of darkness. John Stott, commenting this passage, says, they themselves were actually now light, the Ephesian Christians. Their lives were not just their environment. Their lives and not just their environment have been changed from darkness to light. And this radical transformation had taken place in the Lord by virtue of their union with him, who claimed to be the light of the world. So then, because they are light in the Lord, therefore they must walk as children of light, or like people who belong to the light. Their behavior must conform to their new identity. They must radiate the light they are and live like people who are at home in the daylight, without fear of being exposed, as God is their witness. You may misunderstand me, but as God is my witness, and if I have sinned, I need to be quick to acknowledge that, to humble myself first before God, but then before you. We need to be willing to have things pointed out to us that we have erred in so that we might turn from them. We want to come into the light. We want that dust removed. You know, it's kind of like one of the things I've noticed as I've gotten older is I need more light for things. And now, in my dresser, I actually keep a flashlight because I can't see into one of the compartments, so I have to turn the flashlight on. When we want to find something, we turn the light on. When we want to have something hidden, we keep the light off. And so it's important to ask the question, why are we hiding it? All right. Ephesians 5, 6 to 12 in our text this morning. We'll read you the New Living Translation of that. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once, you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. So carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It's shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. He talks about that to the church in Rome in chapter 13 when he says, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. So let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, the armor, that which protects us. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness or sexual immorality or sensuality. Now, we might say, I'm not doing those things, but how about quarreling or jealousy? See, we need to evaluate our lives and make sure that they are not like those who do not know the truth. They are not like those who do not know the grace of God. And we've talked before about the stark contrast between people watching the execution of a guilty criminal who do not understand grace, who have this satisfaction that that person is getting what's coming to them, versus the one who understands grace. And even though they know the justice of what is happening, the justness of what is happening, they grieve that that person has to endure that punishment because of what they did. There should be a stark contrast between us when we come to know the light and those who do not. We need to recognize what the works of darkness are and refuse to go there. Last week we talked about the cookie jar, and how you can't put your hand in the cookie jar and then resist taking the cookies. You can't go near the cookie jar. All right, so what does darkness have to do with light then? Well, first of all, we understand that darkness is associated with Satan. We'll see that when we look in chapter 6, when he says that our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, against rulers, against authorities, but rather it's against the rulers and authorities, against the cosmic powers of what? Of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Maybe you'd figure out where Peretti got his name for that book, This Present Darkness. You see, our struggle is not against the people knowing what we do. It really doesn't matter what people think of us. It really doesn't matter if we're embarrassed by people. If people see our sin, what matters is that God sees it. You see, Satan kind of whispers in our ear and reminds us all the time of the things we do wrong. And if we don't know the gospel, if we don't know the fact that God loves us because of what Christ did for us, not because of our goodness, then we're shattered and we want to hide. We're embarrassed. We're humiliated. Rather than when he reminds us of our sin, we remind him of his future. So, darkness is associated with Satan. Darkness and light are also an either or. You can't have darkness and light. Now, yeah, you can have degrees of light. You can turn the light up higher. And certainly, what happens if you're in the dark and all of a sudden the light gets really bright? It blinds us. So there needs to be, we need to have that kind of gradual adjustment. But it's either, we're either in the dark or in the light. It's either that which pleases God or that which is not. Light consumes darkness. If you have a room that's dark and you turn the light on, it consumes the darkness. That's a picture of what happens to those who come into the presence of God who are not perfectly holy. Do you realize that? If you come into the presence of God and you have sin in you, you will be consumed by his very nature, his very holiness, which consumes sin. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, oh, wait a minute now. I still sin. You just said we all sin. How can any of us come in the presence of God then? Well, many of you know the answer, don't you? It's because our holiness is bound up, is given to us. We're clothed, so to speak, in Christ's holiness. And when we come to him in Christ, then we can be acceptable. Then we are not consumed, because what's happened to our sin? It's already been consumed. Where? On the cross. Ephesians 5, 10 to 14. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil. Instead, expose them. It's shameful even to talk about these things, but their evil intentions will be exposed when light shines on them, for light makes everything visible. Jesus had said back in John 8:12, he said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. In Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, oh, deep that darkness is. Why? Because no one can serve two masters. You'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and be enslaved to money. You cannot be in the light and in the dark. You cannot be hiding from God and hiding from others and at the same time be walking in the light of Jesus, who sees all and knows all. My friends, either Jesus is indeed our master, the one who defines right and wrong, the one who is our hope, the one who we desire to have cleanse us from these things, or we are rejecting him. As in Luke 19:14, Jesus tells a parable about a man who was sent away to become king, and some of the people didn't want him to be king, and they sent a delegation with these words, "We do not want this man to reign over us." My friends, that's the question. Do you want Jesus to reign over you or not? You see, if we say, I want him to reign over me, but I want to keep this. Wait a minute, I'm not going to give this up. No, I'm sorry. This is mine. I have every right to hold on to this. I'm not going to give this up. My friends, either he is or he is not the one who reigns over you. Then we see how those who practice darkness hate the light. We talked about that already from John 3, but it's interesting. John 3:16 is one of the most well-known verses in the Bible. Probably all of you could come close to quoting it, if not quoting it, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We all know the verse, but read the rest in the context. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There's no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who doesn't believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son, and the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love darkness more than light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear that their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come into the light so that others can see that what they're doing is what God wants. As one commentator said, darkness shelters evil and helps it fester. Don't let it stay in the dark. Darkness representing ignorance, error, evil, light representing truth and righteousness. Darkness hides the ugly realities of evil. The light makes them visible. The evil is seen for what it is when we shine the light on it, and sometimes that hurts. I don't like to be shown to be in error. I don't like to have the things, many of you have heard me talk about my disease, foot and mouth disease. I don't like to be pointed out when I stuck my foot in my mouth again. It hurts, but I want it because I want that dealt with. I want it removed. We pay people megabucks to cut us open and remove bad things from us. Are we willing to tell Jesus to do the same on a spiritual level? That which prefers to be done in secret should send all kinds of warning lights in our hearts and minds. It's foolishness and darkness go together, like the child who thinks they can't be seen because they can't see you. So, what does sleep have to do with light? Verse 14 says that anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The New Living translates that. The light makes everything visible. That's why it said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 to 8. You yourselves are fully aware the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there's peace and security, sudden destruction will come upon them as the labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they won't escape. But you are not in the darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you're all children of light. You are children of the day. We're not of the night or of the darkness. So let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. One commentator said, it's an obvious fact that Christians who are asleep do not know it. Think about that for a minute. Christians who are asleep, and you might not just say Christians, but anybody who's asleep doesn't know it. Cheryl, my Cheryl, struggles with sleep at times. And I know some of you struggle with sleep at times. And it's interesting, she'll talk at times about being awake for a long period of time, and yet lying in the bed next to her, I know that she's been asleep, but she didn't realize it. Because what she saw was she saw the clock at certain times. And one of the things that's interesting, too, is that I cannot hear the hourly chime on my watch. It's out of my hearing range. She can. And so she'll oftentimes hear the chime through the night that I can't hear if I put it up next to my ear. I've tried to turn it off, and if you're a techie and want to try and feel free and save my wife hearing, I'm saying maybe she likes to be able to hear it. I don't know, but sometimes when we're asleep, we don't realize we're asleep. Charles Spurgeon said, and this is the meditation, the reflection in your bulletin, it's possible to be slumbering in the light and even to be well regarded by others in the church, especially by others who are in the same state. It's possible to be asleep and appear awake. It's possible to pray while asleep. That always reminds me of a time I had before I was diagnosed with sleep apnea, I had this capacity to fall asleep at very embarrassing times. I could sit down and fall asleep very quickly. My wife would get so mad at me when we would go to bed, and two things would happen. When her head hit the pillow, she remembered all the things she wanted to tell me. When my head hit the pillow, within 15 seconds, I was sound asleep. And she would get so mad at me. And so I would try to sit, but I actually fell asleep once in a prayer meeting while I was praying. They told me to go home and go to bed. But it's possible to pray while asleep, mouthing phrases that others have used before. It's possible to sing a hymn without being awake to the words. It's possible to walk while asleep and end up in harm's way. And we probably all could tell humorous stories about sleepwalkers. I know I've had several of them, not me specifically, but some of my siblings. One time walking to my sister's room, she jumped out of bed, hit me and said, "You're it," and ran around the bed, climbed back in. She didn't remember a thing of it. Sleep, darkness, light. On the other hand, imagine being in a dark room, sound asleep, and somebody comes in and opens the curtains on a bright, sunny day. Sometimes we do that to wake somebody up who's refusing to get up. In other words, we need the light of Christ to come into our room to wake us up sometimes. This is one of the importances, the values, if you will, of being with God's people on the Lord's day. Donald Gray Barnhouse gave an illustration of this. He says, when Christ was in the world, he was like the shining sun. And when the sun sets, the moon comes up. The moon is a picture of believers, the church. The church shines, but not with its own light. It shines with reflected light. And at times, the church has been a full moon, dazzling the world with an almost daytime light. Those were times of great enlightenment, like in the days of Paul or Luther or Wesley. At other times, the church has only been a thumbnail moon. And in those days, very little light shone on the earth. But whether the church is a full or thumbnail moon, whether waxing or waning, it reflects the light of Christ. Our light does not originate with us. You see, we need to have Christ's light shining more fully on us, more often, more intensely, like that moonlight frisbee, that it would shine forth. I'm going to close by reading a song by Keith Green. Many of us are old enough to remember Keith Green. He was a godly songwriter, musician, who God took home in a plane accident at the age of 33. But before he went, he wrote some pretty amazing songs. And one of them he wrote was one called "Asleep in the Light." And I want you to listen to this as I close today. Do you see? Do you see all the people sinking down? Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you going to let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Oh, bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. You know, it's all I ever hear. No one aches. No one hurts. No one even sheds one tear. But he cries. He weeps. He bleeds. And he cares for your needs. And you just lay back and keep soaking it in. Oh, can't you see it's such sin? Because he brings people to the door. And you turn them away as you smile and say, God bless you, be at peace. And heaven just weeps because Jesus came to your door and you left him out in the streets. Open up. Open up and give yourself away. You've seen the need. You hear the cry. So how can you delay? God's calling and you're the one. But like Jonah, you run. He's told you to speak, but you keep holding it in. Oh, can't you see it's such sin? The world is sleeping in the dark that the church can't fight because it's asleep in the light. How can you be so dead when you've been so well fed? Jesus rose from the grave, and you? You can't even get out of bed. Oh, Jesus rose from the dead. Come on, get out of your bed. How can you be so numb not to care if they come? Close your eye. You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Don't close your eyes. Don't pretend the job's done. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you, who began a good work in us, will continue to perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Father, I pray that as there is darkness in anyone here this morning, that your light would shine powerfully on them. We all have darkness. We all struggle to really expose ourselves to the light. It hurts. We don't like to have our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our problems known to others. But Father, may we be more concerned to walk in your light, to shine your light, than we are for what people think of us. So Father, we offer ourselves again to you as living sacrifices for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.